Today is Ascension of the Lord Sunday. The scripture lessons are from Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and the Gospel of Luke chapter 24, verses 44 through 53. Today's message is titled, Look Up! It is written in scripture, Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days, and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. So when they met together, they asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus, who has been taken from you into heaven, will come back in the same manner you have seen him go into heaven. Here ends the first lesson. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 24th chapter, beginning at the 44th verse. He said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. And repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, he lifted up his hands and blessed them and was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple praising God. Here ends the gospel according to Luke. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine on our paths. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Ascension of the Lord. Ascension of the Lord. How does one put that into words? I mean, how does one express in understandable words the incomprehensible, the wondrous, the impossible, the miraculous? A human being, flesh and bone human being, a man rising up from the earth into the sky. Years ago in James Bond movie Thunderball, you may recall the secret agent lifted off from the earth and flew to safety. It was a short 20-second hop in a jetpack. With 20 seconds of flight time, and then all the fuel would be used up, all that fuel would run out, and if you weren't on the ground, landed safely, well, you get the picture, you'd be in trouble. I mean, it's a major safety issue. And the Army, U.S. Army, deemed that just to be too dangerous. Now, with the advent of microturbine engines, yes, microturbine engines, and the jet suit, this flight time has been increased to up to 10 minutes. Well, depending on the size and weight of the person flying in the jet suit. So a man can lift off from the earth and fly for a bit, up to 10 minutes, and back down to earth. If you'd like to do that, it'd be about $440,000 to do it, or roughly $44,000 a minute to do it. I mean, one of those jet suits. Have you seen it? You can find it on YouTube. It's pretty fascinating. But a man lifting off from earth with no jetpack, no jet suit, just lifting his hands up as he was blessing the disciples. Lifting his hand up. He was blessing the disciples. That's what Jesus was doing. And then he started to rise. Started to rise up. I mean, blessing the disciples, and Jesus began to rise from the ground as he blessed them. And Jesus was separated from them in this rising up, separated from them and carried into heaven. His last words, his last physical spoken words, were a blessing to the disciples. Separated, the Greek word separated, it means to set apart and put a distance between. Carried up, separated and carried up. The Greek is a compound word for up and bring. It properly means to bring up to a goal, literally to take up. Acts chapter 1, the description is lifted up. With these, it seems more an act of the Father bringing the Son back home into heaven than the Son going to the Father. Jesus ascending is described more as a lifting up than a rising up. And the visible physical presence of the disciples, distinctly and clearly, Jesus leaves. In the fullness of his physical flesh and bone body, Jesus is lifted up without leaving that physical flesh and bone body behind. There is not an empty carcass left behind as Jesus returns to heaven. And this is essential to the faith. Jesus physically, with all his flesh and all his bones, was taken up into heaven. He returns to heaven with all of his humanness. Jesus did not leave behind any of his humanness when he was taken into heaven. Taken into heaven to begin the important work of interceding for us at the right hand of the Father. It's written in 1 John chapter 2, beginning of verse 1. My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus intercedes for us as our advocate before the Father. Hebrews chapter 7, beginning of verse 24. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Our advocate, our priest, always intercedes for us. We have complete salvation in him. He saves completely. The incarnation. In the incarnation, the Son took on the fullness of humanness, became human. On the cross, Jesus Christ offered the perfect sacrifice, paying the redeeming price, rising from the dead in the fullness of his physical humanness. The humanness, through that wonder of the incarnation, conceived and being born. None of that is being left behind anywhere. It was there on the cross and the crucifixion. It was there in the resurrection. And that humanness, that flesh and bone, is now exalted by the Father to the highest place. All to the glory of the Father. It's written, Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6. Who, being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. There was a flesh and bone resurrection, and that's the precursor of the flesh and bone ascension. Luke writes, Acts chapter 1, verse 3. After his suffering, he showed himself to these men and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. After his suffering, such a short phrase, it's Luke's way of summarizing Jesus crucified on the cross, dead and buried, and then rising on the third day. And he gave many convincing proofs. He, Jesus, was alive. What convincing proofs means, he showed himself. It means to come up and stand by to present and exhibit, like present evidence. Jesus showed himself. Jesus presented himself as the evidence to prove he truly was alive. The convincing proofs also means a marker supplying indisputable information as unmistakable and irrefutable. That convincing proof. So Luke chapter 24, beginning of verse 37. They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. The unmistakable and irrefutable evidence is the scars in his hands, in his feet. It is Jesus, alive, standing there right before him. Physical body, flesh and bone. See the scars. Look at the hands. Look at the feet. Look at the side. See the scars. This is the crucified Jesus, risen from the dead, fully alive, flesh and bone. The very same Jesus, over a period of 40 days, showed himself alive to many people. And by the way, it's written in a couple places, Jesus ate with them. His physical body ate food with them. This very physicalness of Jesus clearly and convincingly is proven to the disciples. It is this Jesus who is taken into heaven. And a cloud hid them from their sight. Yes, a cloud hid him from their sight. The Greek is even more nuanced here. That word hid, in the Greek, it means to take up, to welcome, to receive. But also means to lay hold on and actively take what is offered. That word hid. The action described is the cloud receives Christ. The cloud actively takes hold and brings Christ in. And remember throughout the scriptures how the presence of God is described in a cloud. In a cloud. Often in a cloud. Exodus chapter 24, beginning at verse 15. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it. And the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain. And on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from within the cloud. And on the mountain Transfiguration, Luke chapter 9, beginning at verse 34. While Peter, was speaking, a cloud appeared and enveloped them. And they were afraid as they entered the cloud. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him." How do you describe the ascension? How do you put into earthly words this wondrous, spiritual, physical? I mean, it's beyond, but yet it's physical, but it's spiritual. It's all this wrapped together. How do you put this into words? Jesus lifted up, received back into heaven by the Father, received into that realm beyond human understanding, where the very presence of God, the very presence of God who is outside of time, beyond time, the eternal present moment, that place that's beyond human comprehension, how do you put that into words? The reality of that existence. Into the reality of the fullness Jesus' humanness went, and the fullness of Jesus' divine is now, enters, resides, in the fullness of his glory. A glimpse of which was seen on the Mount of Transfiguration is now the fullness of his glory is released. That Jesus is now interceding for us. Jesus being lifted up, ascending from the ground, rising higher and higher and higher as the disciples look up, following in utter amazement. I don't know what kind of expression a person would have as they were just watching Jesus going, rising higher. Did their chins fall to the ground? Did their eyes bug out? I mean, can you put that into description? What would you look if you saw someone rising up and rising up? And I mean, this Jesus, in utter amazement. They were gazing in utter amazement. That's behind the Greek there. They're astonished. A slow rising for their eyes to fully follow. Beholding Jesus' departure to see. This is the proof. To see that Jesus indeed did come from heaven. Just as he said. In John chapter 6, beginning of verse 38. Jesus speaking, "For I have come down from heaven, and not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all that he has given me, but raise them up on the last day. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day." The last day. That's that perfect day that is in the prayer that I begin sermons with. The last day, the perfect day. The moment when Christ comes again, just as the two men dressed in white spoke about to the disciples, written in Acts chapter 1, beginning at verse 10. They were intently looking up. That's the disciples were intently looking up into the sky as he was going. When suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. That phrase, taken from you, taken. Again, the emphasis is volition, the power of the will. That's what volition means, the power of the will. And the focus is on the will of the receiver. The volition, the will of the receiver. Jesus taken into heaven by the will of the Father. This same Jesus will come back. This Jesus to the disciples, your beloved Master and Lord, whom you walked with and learned from these past couple of years as his disciples, this same Jesus will come back. In the same manner you have seen him go. You have seen in the Greek means to gaze at a spectacle. As a spectator watches intently the spectacle, and this gazing is trying to interpret and grasp the significance and impact of what you're viewing. That's what that means. This same spectacular manner Jesus left will be the manner he will come. Come from the heavens, from the clouds, Jesus one day will descend. The coming of Jesus will come just as assuredly to be as the very reality of as the disciples witnessing Jesus, their eyes beholding Jesus going. He will come. It's just as assuredly. And notice the response of the disciples. It's written there in Luke chapter 24. The response of the disciples is worship and great joy. Luke chapter 24, verse 52. Then they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. The English misses something very important that is there in the Greek, in the phrase, with great joy. The Greek word translated as with means, it implies, changed afterward. Changed afterward. More specifically, what is the result after the event? What is the change that takes place because something has happened in the context of what took place? What is the after effect of witnessing and beholding with amazement Jesus lifted up into heaven? Jesus lifted up into heaven. What is the after effect of them witnessing that? The change is great joy. Joy. Megas joy. Mega joy. Great joy. Because that joy knows Jesus is the Christ. And that Jesus fulfilled all that was written in the scriptures about the Christ, the Messiah. Joy for forgiveness of sins is real and true. Eternal life in Christ Jesus is theirs. Real joy is, it's theirs because eternal life is theirs. And to all who believe, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Luke chapter 24, beginning at verse 44, he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. It means the totality of scriptures of what we know now as the Old Testament. The history and reality of the totality that the scriptures describe, talk about, and share with us, and teach us, and guide us. The totality of that history and reality, that it begins there in the creation and then has the fall of man. The fall of man into sin. And there's all those promises and prophecies of the one who would come to save, the Messiah, the Christ. Understand the scriptures and see that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, for Jesus has fulfilled all that was written about him. Crucified, he had to suffer, rise on the third day. This too was foretold and Jesus fulfilled. Incarnation, conceived by a virgin. Ascension, he came down and Christ will return home. God is God, and Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, who fulfilled the Scripture. Now, carry the good news to others. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached in His name. Repentance and forgiveness will be preached in His name. These are the things that will change hearts. These are the things that will change lives. These past weeks in the news is the real evidence of the fall of man and sin and the reality of great evil. The blame will be placed on the firearms, where the focus ought to be is on what happened in the hearts of kids that they would grow up to do such evil. What has happened to the hearts of kids that they are growing up to do such evil? That's where the focus is and ought to be. It'll be on the firearms, but it ought to be what has happened to the hearts of kids that they grow up to do such evil. For the truth, the reality is generations of the past did not do as it's happening these days. They did not do as has been done these past weeks. Generations in the past, this is true. Back then, during hunting season, in the parking lot of schools would be the rifle from hunting before school. And the rifle's still there because they're going hunting after school. There used to be gun clubs in schools, and the kids would bring the rifles to the gun clubs in the schools because there were shooting ranges in the schools, and the kids were taught how to properly handle and care the rifles and guns and firearms. I mean, that's what it used to be. And the great evil of these days did not happen then. Would not even come to the mind of the youths then in generations past. So the question is, what has happened to the hearts of today's youth that such evil comes to be? What has happened in the children's hearts that they grow up to do such evil? Will that question be asked in the mainstream media? Will that question even be investigated in the mainstream media? No. It won't. The great evil of the past in the Colosseum games, where murder and mayhem were celebrated and rejoiced in. The destruction of Christians in the games, where they were martyred by ferocious wild animals and brutal gladiators. What brought that to an end? The preaching of Christ and the faith lived out by the believers. It was changed hearts by preaching of Christ, repentance and forgiveness. And change a heart, you change a life. Christ preached, it changed the lives. Christ and faith in Christ is what brought about the change. The rising evil of today can be overcome with Christ. By bringing Christ into the hearts of people of all ages, but especially the young. The young need to know Christ. Christ into the hearts of the children. Because when you encounter Christ, you will be changed. You encounter Christ, you will be forever changed. Just as the disciples were forever changed and filled with great joy. Without a doubt, they knew Jesus is the Christ. The convincing proof is now punctuated with that exclamation point. Jesus being lifted up before their eyes as they look up. Received into the clouds. Received into the presence of the living God the Father. Joy was theirs. And this joy is ours as we delight in the grace of God too. Look up. Don't be downcast. Look up, for Christ the Lord is exalted and reigning in glory. Christ the Lord is seated at the right hand of the Father. Christ the Lord rules over all, has overcome all, intercedes for us, is our advocate. Look up, don't be downcast, for Christ is Lord. And he's no longer constrained by the physical realm. Christ is able to fully express his glory in all of our lives, all around, wherever creation may be. Christ can express his glory. And Christ can change a heart. Look up. Look up. And just see the glory of Christ and what that means for you. Have this great joy. Look up. Share Christ. Change a heart of a child, because you will change a life into eternal life forever. So help people ask the question, what has happened to the heart of children? And if they don't have a good answer, you give them the only true answer. Their hearts need Christ. Share Christ and see the glory of Christ expressed through you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.